Gospel according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And this is the gospel of the Lord. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and nothing will snatch it from my hand. About 6 years ago, I was sitting in my office at Christ Community Church in Pompano Beach, Florida, minding my own business, when a young woman came into my office. She was about 21 years old. She had big brown eyes. And she didn't come to learn about God. She had no religious question at all. She wanted 30 copies of some paper made. And she was having a meeting in the church with some group, and could I let her use our copying machine? Which, of course, I did. Her name was Jo. And as we sat together copying her copies, I asked her, I said, "Jo, do you go to church?" And she said, "I want nothing to do with religion." She said, "I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." She said, "I grew up, and in my early life, religion was nothing but a curse to me. And religious people were nothing but negative. And so I want nothing to do with religion." In the gospel today, we find Jesus in Jerusalem in the winter. It's dark and it's cold. And that darkness and that cold that John tells us about also depicts the mood, the sentiment that surrounds Jesus, the parts of the people, not the Jews, but the Jewish leaders who surround him and keep probing him for answers to their questions. They don't want answers. They want to trap him. In much the same way that my little friend Joe didn't want Jesus in her life because she didn't know him. And she thought that everything about religion was like that Jerusalem in winter, dark and cold. And so the people probing Jesus, they say, "Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly." And Jesus answers, he says, "I've told you, and you don't believe." Keep in mind that in John's gospel, belief is not the assent of the mind to a bunch of stuff. It's not, "Do you believe in the Nicene Creed's list of beliefs?" Belief in the Gospel of John is relationship. Belief is being in relationship with Jesus. And through that relationship, it's being in relationship with the Father. It's being in relationship with God. And so Jesus tells his interlocutors, "I've told you, but you don't believe me. You don't let me in. You won't let me be your friend." Now, where is he spoken plainly? In John 4, we find Jesus at noontime at a Samaritan well, the well of Sychar, and he's there with one lone woman who has come to draw water. Why is she there in the middle of the day when it's hot to lug that water around? She's there because even in that Samaritan village, she's a pariah. Jesus says, go and get your husband. I'll talk to you. She says, I have no husband. He says, yes, you do. You've had five, and the man you're living with is not your husband. So I guess you're right. And she goes back to her village. She said, go and listen to the person who's told me everything about myself. How could this be? Could he be the one we're waiting for? And she asks him plainly, are you the one? And he says to her, the one you are speaking with is he. Jesus isn't hiding. In just a chapter before the one we're reading for, chapter 10 and chapter 9 of John's Gospel, Jesus heals a man born blind. And that man, at the end of a long story, finds Jesus, or actually Jesus finds him, and he says, Jesus says to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he says, sir, show him to me. And Jesus says, the one who you have seen and who is standing in front of you, it is he. And we hear that that man born blind saw within as well as without, because John tells us he believed and he followed Jesus. He was in relationship. And then earlier in this chapter 10, Jesus says, I am, ego eimi, the good shepherd. The use of those words, I am, is the use of the name of God. Moses says to the voice that speaks from the burning bush, who are you? So I can tell my people. And the voice says, tell them I am sent you. And Jesus here says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The one who the Jews are waiting for is the king like David. And David was the shepherd king. So Jesus says, yeah, I'm the Messiah. But he also references Ezekiel 35, where through the prophet, God speaks and says, the shepherds of Israel that I have given you, the kings and the leaders, they stink. So I will shepherd my people. I will find them when they're lost. I will bind up their wounds. I will bring them to good pastures. I will shepherd my flock. God is the shepherd of Israel par excellence. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, but you don't believe me. You don't believe me even though I have spoken clearly. But my works attest to who I am. What are his works? The Gospel of John is filled with seven signs, excuse me, that progressively lead us to understand who he is, who Jesus is. And we know from the prologue that he is the eternal word made flesh to dwell among us. And he comes and he gives us signs of who he is. Taking water and making it wine, feeding 5,000 people with just a little bit of food, healing the child of the synagogue official who is at death's door. These are miracles of healing and transformation and abundance. And Jesus says, see what I do, because God doesn't just sit around on God's eternal keister thinking. God does things. God heals. God transforms. God makes whole. And when you see my works, realize who's working. Open your eyes, because if you're my sheep, you will understand that my miracles are blessings from the one who is. Then Jesus goes on, he says, but if you're my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They listen, and they hear, and they follow. The word in French, obéir, means to hear, to listen. We get our English word obey from it. We obey God when we listen to his voice and follow where it calls us. It's not enough just to hear. He wants us to be doers of the word, not merely hearers of the word. So my sheep are the ones that hear my call and follow where I'm calling them. And why are they doing that? Because it's the only way to get eternal life, a life that can never be taken. Once you are part of the fold of Jesus, nothing can snatch you away from him. Because in his eyes, nothing is more precious than what the Father has given him, and that means nothing is more precious than you. Because you are his sheep. Not collectively, although that would be true too. Each one of us, is a beloved, precious child of God, son or daughter of the Father, brother or sister of Jesus. And nothing is more precious than you. And so, what's the takeaway from this? Why does John give us this story? It's a reminder, I think, that it's not just enough to see Jesus or to hear him without faith, without relationship, without making Jesus be a part of our lives. But when we do that, we will be transformed. We will be different. We'll be changed. We'll be better, deeper, wiser people. We won't be perfect. But every day, God will be in our lives walking with us as the shepherd in Psalm 23 walks with the sheep. Psalm 23, which we sang, actually. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. The word shepherd in Hebrew and the word friend in Hebrew are etymologically connected. The shepherd who guards and who guides us is the friend who loves and cares about us. And so there are two things, I think, to bring home today. One is the realization of how precious you are. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been, no matter the mistakes that you've made, whether they be big or small ones, you are precious just the way you are. You are loved, you are cared for and about, and you are called to hear his voice and to follow. And when we hear his voice, what does he say? He says, come follow me. He says, take the path that I've taken. What's his path? His path is the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way of self-gift. Jesus holds on to nothing. He didn't hold on to divinity. He became one of us. He didn't hold on to his life, to his fun, to his enjoyment. He allowed himself to be taken and crucified and humiliated. He gave everything to show us what God's love for us is like. We are that precious. And so that's the first thing. The second thing to remember is that we, the sheep of his fold, are also his voice and his hands in our world. If people are to hear the call of Christ, the voice of Christ today, they must hear us speaking it. By our words and by our deeds, by the way we love, by the way we care, by our patience, by our forbearance, by our gentleness, by our tenderness. The more we become like our Christ, the more the world will see him, and the more sheep will hear his voice and follow where he calls. My little friend Joe, as we went on in our conversation, she explained, she said, I grew up in a Muslim home. She said, my mom and my dad are pious Muslims. And for us, faith was sin and guilt, shame. She said, and I made such a mess of my life. Here I am in Florida in a rehab center getting over addictions. And I hope I'll be able to make it, but that faith brought me nowhere but down. And so I said to her, I said, have you heard about Jesus? About the God who loves without condemning? About the one who suffers with you and cares about you like a shepherd cares about his sheep? And as I spoke about Jesus, I saw a big tear form in her eye and roll down her cheek. I said, you want him, don't you? And she said, I don't know. It would be the greatest sin in my parents' eyes. She said, I'm not sure. I said, but that's why you're here, Joe. You didn't come here to make 30 copies of that piece of paper. You came here to learn about Jesus, to learn about the God who loves and cares and is with you always and doesn't condemn but helps and gives you hope. I said, you want that, don't you? And she shook her head, yes, and more tears came streaming down her face. So I said to her, I said, Joe, Jesus of Nazareth has sent me here to invite you to come and follow him. Will you? And she said, yes. And she accepted Jesus. And she became a sister to us all. I don't know what happened to Joe after that day. As Paul says in Corinthians, one sows, another waters, but it is God who makes the plant grow. But I know this, she left that church a transformed young woman with hope and joy in her eyes. And I have prayed for her every day since. And so I ask the Lord for each one of us. Make us instruments of the love and presence of Christ so that the world might know that we have a good shepherd who seeks us when we're lost, cares for us tenderly when we're found, and brings us home to his Father's house forever. Amen.